Jesus is a Democrat. Jesus is Republican. Jesus wouldn't vote. Jesus loves me just the way I am. Jesus would never watch that. Jesus was an extraterrestrial. Jesus was white. Jesus had dreadlocks. I wrote the book because so many people have an idea about who Jesus is. And in our culture, Jesus is always referred to in some level, like Jesus wouldn't do this, or Jesus would do this, or Jesus would support my cause, but he would never support your cause. People are often kind of surprised to find out that Jesus was really judgmental, and that he called people names, and that he laid waste to them verbally, and he had no problem doing it. And the reason that they're surprised is because they've fallen in love with their own idea about who Jesus is. In this book, Jesus has a Twitter account. And the reason is the role that Twitter is playing in our society. People can give their ideas out in 140 or now 280 characters and blast it out to the rest of the world. And it can be used for good or evil. But I decided that it would be interesting to give Jesus a Twitter account because we could hear how judgmental he was just from those tweets. I hope when people read this book, they understand a little bit better that Jesus isn't going to be put into any of their little categories that they like, including my own. I mean, I had to discover a little bit better who Jesus was as I did the study for this book. And so my hope is that as people read through this and they consider the material, they're going to find a Jesus that they can follow. More than that, they could see who he is and the role that he plays, and then the role that he asks us to play in light of who he is. And that we have actually a sacred role that's been entrusted to us that he wants us to play in our culture.
Hi friends, in today's podcast we have an interview with a gentleman who has written a new book, Not My Jesus. We have Bob Fabey with us. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you so much, Ed. Happy to be with you.
Now, I like a little bit of humor with them things, and I could tell in the 15 seconds that I talked to you a minute ago that humor is probably your thing as well. I see here you're a pastor who practices Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Now, that's correct.
In a suggested question, and I'll give that secret away, I get some suggested questions.
Sure.
It says, does that keep people from falling asleep in church?
Actually, I put people to sleep when they criticize my sermons. That's what it's for.
I see. Well, being a pastor, I have a funny story that I had to wake my dad up one time, and I won't go into this story, but dad was, bless his heart, who's gone now, I had to wake him up. Glad you're here.
Thanks so much.
Glad to talk about Not My Jesus. One of the first things that I see that I want to ask you about is the people in a changing world.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard time reaching numerous groups of the people in today's world. How do we reach those people?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think it's really important. And what I think happens is that Christians will kind of, you know, even suffer paralysis on some level because they may look at the amount of work that's out there for us to do and the people that are in so desperate need of love and compassion, and they, you know, it's kind of overwhelming. And the way that I think about that is that it's like, hey, who's within your reach? I don't think Jesus wants you to be responsible for reaching the entire globe. It's the people within your reach. And so if the people within your reach are a part of a certain group, it doesn't really matter. It's just those within your sphere of influence. And I think that's kind of an important worldview to have, because otherwise we look at an impossible task and just go, man, there's no way we're going to change or make a difference.
It seems that many times people try to compromise what the Bible says in order to reach other people.
Yeah, that's a huge danger. I unfortunately, you know, been in ministry long enough, you know, you see that quite a bit. And the reality is that Jesus didn't compromise at all about who he was or what he did. And people who were on the very edges of society were the ones who came to him. And so what I find is that if there is capitulation about the message of the gospel, and I want to be clear, I think the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus is Lord. And then when we make it smaller than that, we do capitulate. And Jesus didn't, and still people came to him. And I think that we can operate in the same way that Jesus operated. We can love in the same way that he did, and people will respond because that message is universal and timeless. And there's not a person who's lived on the planet who doesn't need what Jesus has to bring.
Well, there is obviously lots of reason to write this book. And just go into it a little bit about the whys.
Yeah. So I came out of seminary recognizing that much of what I was seeing in the churches, and again, I want to make a distinction. You know, if I talk about the church, I'm talking about myself. I really refuse to say, you know, the church as opposed to me. I'm part of it. But what I saw was that the gospel was pretty small and fairly narrowly focused. And so this idea that we would be fully submitted to Christ and that we would be a part of what it is that he's trying to do really was reduced to kind of like sin management. And for me, I it just never sat right. I thought, no, there's more here, and there's more beauty, and there's more grace, and there's more joy, and there's just more. And it was like, man, I can't stomach this. And so when I saw, and if you've read the book, it begins with Talladega Nights, because when I saw the prayer in Talladega Nights, it was like lightning. I thought, this is exactly what's going on. People have their own version of Jesus. And when I went back through and studied through the Gospel of Matthew, which I used for the book, I recognized that people tried to pull Jesus into different arguments to make sure that he was on their side. And he kind of refused to do that. And so I saw that happening in our culture today, you know, where somebody who may think they're kind of more on the liberal end of things would argue that Jesus would be on their side for whatever cause, and vice versa for those who are more conservative. And that's really what caused me to write the book. I thought, man, this is pretty real. And then, to be quite honest, Ed, I tried not to write it. I was really busy. I'm like, I got other stuff to do, and I really honestly felt prompted by the Spirit to kind of push through and make it a priority. So that's what I did.
The cover of the book, I got to share a story. The book was sitting on the table after I got it in, and my wife walked by and said, "What in the world is that?" It's a little controversial. Tell us about the cover.
Yeah, the cover really is a depiction of kind of the caricatures that our society has about Jesus, including Christians. I think that when people see an image of Jesus and it doesn't resonate with what they think he's supposed to be like, it causes them pause, and they have a hard time. And so the cover, you know, with the hipster glasses and the selfie and the, you know, the Starbucks and the cigarette, it's all a way of kind of pointing out the fact that people are trying to make Jesus into something he isn't. And then when people have strong reactions to the cover, it tends to be from a position of, you know, I really love Jesus and I don't like what you did with him, because I have a version of Jesus that I really like, and it doesn't look like that. If that makes sense.
And you communicate in today's language. As an example, there are 22 tweets that Jesus may have put out there. Talk about the tweets.
Yeah, well, I hesitate to say that Jesus would have had a Twitter account.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
I don't know that he would have. But the idea is to you know, Twitter is playing a role in our society, whether we like it or not. And so I use that as a vehicle to point out the fact that when people have a view of Jesus that typically, you know, it's, you know, Jesus didn't judge, or Jesus was really nice, or Jesus, you know, would only do this, or Jesus wouldn't do that. And I went through Matthew, and I recognized that Jesus called people names a lot. Mm. He was really clear about some stuff. And most of the time when people think of Jesus, they don't have that in view. They don't have that part of his truth-telling messianic function. And so I thought Twitter would be a good vehicle for that because of the Twitter wars, if you will, that have been going on for the last, 5-6 years.
I enjoy the hashtags. Dogs and pigs are still better than cats. You are doing it all.
I might have betrayed a tendency towards dogs.
Well, yeah, that's good. I like that. You mentioned an interesting group of people that I know of very well. I don't not had interaction with them, but I followed them for a long, long time, and that's the folks, if that's what they would be called, at Westboro Baptist Church. Talk about that and where that stands in
the picture. I want to say this. I think that the folks there, and I have never spoken with one. I can't speak from a place of intimate knowledge or relationship. I think what they are trying to do is faithfully represent what they believe to be what God would want them to do. I also believe that our culture has pointed to them and said, this is who Christians are. And that's, for me, it causes me pause because, one, I don't agree with the way that they are shown in the media, because that's all I can see. But then, you know, I went to their website and I read what they had to say, and I'm in disagreement with much of what they have to say. And I'm in disagreement around their practices, because I believe, again, like other groups, they're looking at Jesus through a keyhole, and they're only seeing part of something, and they're thinking that that's the whole, when in fact I think maybe they're missing things. And I want to be generous as I can. I do think that they're trying to be faithful, and I do think they're doing what they believe to be right. I am in disagreement with much of their practice.
You mentioned Jesus wasn't always nice. I refer to him calling people brood of vipers and say that I'm pretty sure that he didn't mean that as a compliment.
Right. Yeah, that was one of the tweets I think I put in there was that.
What about Jesus being judgmental?
Well, I think part of the function of Messiah was to bring clarity around what was happening. And I think he still does that today, where it's, I'm going to help you to see really clearly what's going on. And by virtue of Jesus being Messiah, he has that role. He gets to play that part. And so I can allow Jesus to draw judgment upon activities, thoughts, those kinds of things, and I can rest in that. So when Jesus, by way of his Holy Spirit, rebukes me or calls me to repentance, I know his judgments are right, and I can trust in that. The way that he went about it was hard. I mean, man, I can't imagine. He called a woman a dog. You can never do that. That's not okay.
Right.
But he did that so that she would be freed from trying to be somebody she wasn't, but then also to be a part of what it was that God was doing in and through Jesus. And I think, her response was that, hey, but even a dog can eat from the scraps of the table. And Jesus understood, like, hey, even though this wasn't for you, you get it. So I think he brings clarity around things when he judges, because of his messianic function. Am I making sense?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the judgmental part and then the loving part that go together hand in hand with Jesus, we seem to have a hard time doing that in our lives. It seems like we're judgmental, we're loving, but putting those two together is difficult. Share about how Jesus accomplishes that.
Well, I think he has a pattern of behavior that draws upon strength from being with his Father. And that's really where our breakdown is. I think Jesus would withdraw. Jesus would frequently be in prayer. And I think what happens for us is we see hypocrisy in someone else. We get frustrated. We let them know about our frustrations or our dislike for their behavior. But we're not taking our pain to the Father. And we're not saying, hey, you know, when Jesus offers his yoke, we actually need to get under his yoke with him and learn from him, because he's meek and he's lowly at heart, and we'll find rest. And when we are working so desperately at helping other people see how sinful they are, we're certainly not resting in him.
I think about when Jesus bent down and wrote something in the sand, and one by one, all the accusers turned away from the oldest to the youngest. And I just don't see that happening with the way Christians take things to others today.
Yeah, I think when Jesus said, don't judge unless you'll be judged by the same measure, you know, don't try to remove the plank from someone else's eye the speck from someone else's eye when you have a plank in your own. I think we really do believe that, boy, some sin is just terrible, and other sin is really acceptable. And that really is an unhealthy way of approaching life in general, because then you're just saying, well, I'm not as bad as that person, and it's okay. Or you know, when you take it to the level of practicing Christians, you know, people will condemn certain lifestyle choices, behaviors, but look at gluttony like it's no big deal, when Jesus was really clear about that. Or, you know, there will be gossip that occurs and people just kind of wink at it and go, oh, you know, people are people. But then, boy, if you do something else, there is lots of crying and hearing about it. And so there needs to be a consistent approach about how we look at that and our deep, deep need for a Savior. And I think once we are able to recognize how bad we really need Jesus, that it helps frame the way that we look at those around us who either A, say they follow him, or B, don't know him at all.
As we start to wind down, what do you hope that people take away from the book, Not My Jesus?
I hope that they'll be willing to consider how they think about him. I think that's kind of the first and foremost. Really ask yourself some good, hard questions about what way you view Jesus. And then also, you know, if you're willing to do that, will you allow him to function the way that he functions? He's the Messiah. He's got the judgment piece handled. He's asking us to embrace a role that he's given us, that it is God-given, sacred, and precious, that we would actually love those around us, love him, and love our enemies. And I think if people were willing to kind of chew on that, wrestle with it, maybe try to start practicing it, then I think that's a big win and something I would hope they would take away.
Definitely a big win. What's next for you? And share with us how we can find you online.
So honestly, I've been doing quite a few interviews. I'm really grateful, Ed, to be a part of your program here. And what I'll be doing is sharing and speaking as much as I can about the book, about the message. I'm going to be doing a study at a local church here in the Phoenix area coming up for 6 weeks on the book. You can find me at bobfabey.com. You can book me to speak or to come. I'll do all sorts of things, whether it's a book study on it or come and speak. I'm happy to do both. I'm going to be launching a podcast very shortly. It's going to be called The Third Space, so you can look for that. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
All right, Bob. I always end with a word of prayer. I guess you should never say always, but I've been turned down a couple times, but I figured it was safe to not mention that until the end with you.
Yeah, I would love to pray with you, Ed.
All right. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for our new friend, Bob. We ask your blessings upon the book that he's put together and the reasons behind it and the goals that he has with the book. Father, use it. Help us to realize that maybe our way of looking at your son Jesus isn't your way of looking at your son Jesus. And Father, just help us to strive to be more like him every day of our life. We thank you for Bob and his family. We ask your blessings upon them. And Father, in his ministry, going around the country and then ministering right there at home, we just ask that you would use him in a mighty way. Use him to win souls for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And many blessings to you, Ed. Thank you for what you're doing.
Okay, Bob. Thank you for being with us, and we'll keep track of what's going on.
You bet. Grace and peace.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, folks, that's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston Podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites. We want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.